Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ.
This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look at the topic of divisiveness in the world and try to give a little bit of advice to our graduates. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, welcome today to the At the Table podcast, where I am trying to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. That is our mission at Grace Community Church, and it's really a mission that all churches can ascribe to from Matthew chapter 28. But this week, I've been thinking about two things, and I thought, why not tie them together? This week, coming up on Sunday, May the 18th, we're honoring our high school graduates specifically, but also our college graduates, or I like to call them our post-high school graduates. So those that might have taken a two-year, a four-year master's degree, whatever it is, or just some other training that you got that you graduated from, we're going to honor you as well. But all that to say, the topic of what can I share with these graduates has been on my mind. But the second one that seems to keep cropping up is divisiveness in the world. We live in such a divisive world, and it's not really a surprise, I guess, at its root cause, because the devil is a liar and he's about dividing people, and that's what he tries to do, from sin to anything else that he can. But I got to thinking, what could I give as advice to graduates that would also pertain to everybody else, right, on a Sunday morning message as we gather together? And here's what I've come up with. I've come up with three parts that I want to just kind of work through, and then give you a little bit of encouragement. That's a sneak peek from my message from Sunday. So the first one is this, part one. It's when I think about being divisive or not being divisive, especially in the church, the first thing that comes to mind is being devoted to the Word of God. That is something that I think everybody, all of us, are called to. If you see in Acts chapter 2, when Peter is giving that first message and he's talking about what the church is going to be like, in verse 42 says that they, the early church, after repenting and being baptized and believing, receiving the Holy Spirit, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And in that verse, there's four things, but really I'm going to dive into specifically the apostles' teaching. So remember, at this point in time, they didn't have the Bible, the New Testament at least. And so I would say that for us, we are devoted to the apostles' teaching, but that's primarily done through God's Word. So being in and studying and knowing God's Word. See, we must, when we look at anything in this world as we live, we should filter it all through the lens of God's Word. A verse that comes to mind, and probably because we just had the Awana Awards a couple weeks ago, it's stuck in my brain, is 2 Timothy 2:15. But I'm going to start in verse 14 as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, a young man, and he is giving him advice, pastoral advice, if you will. And in verse 14 of chapter 2 in 2 Timothy, it says, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen." Verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who is correctly handles the word of truth," or in another translation, "rightly divides the word of truth." Keep going in verse 16, "Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly." He goes on to see some more teaching there, but I want to jump back in verse 15 and 16 especially. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter. And so what I want to just encourage you with is be diligent to know God's word. God's word is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," period. And we learn more and know Jesus better by studying his word, God's word, and being devoted to it So this means more than just a cursory reading. It means a studying. It means a memorization of. It means a committing to heart and being able to rightly divide it. In other words, understand it fully, handle it correctly, and allowing God's word to shape our heart, to shape our mind, to shape who we are and what we do and how we view things. Part of that is how we handle and interact with those that we disagree with. So it says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. See, Paul's not saying don't stand up for truth. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is avoid godless chatter. In other words, avoid situations where you are the one being the godless chatter, the trying to win an argument, trying to err on the side of, you know, truth. We've got to get truth. You've got to believe what I believe. And again, I'm not saying don't stand up for truth. We should. When we rightly divide the word of God, we stand up for truth, but we do it in a way that's honoring to him. So my advice to you is this, is just be devoted to his word. Rightly divide it, fully understand it to the best of your ability, and look at life through the lens of God's word. Advice number one. Part two to this is, part of this is not being isolated. Okay, so be connected and serving in a biblically based and biblical teaching church. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says this, it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And who can agree with me that it feels like the day of Jesus coming back is getting closer? You know, we need to be rightly dividing the word of truth, but a huge component of this is fellowship, gathering regularly with other Bible-believing, professing Christians, studying God's word, and being committed to the local church. The local church is the heartbeat of Christianity. It's how God has chosen to save the world. It's how he's chosen to work in the world. It's how he's chosen to bring the gospel to the world. It's through the church, and we need to be a part of that. And there's a couple of things that this helps with. Number one, it puts you in a like-minded group of people that is in a safe environment that wants to know God's word more. So together, you're able to study God's word and learn from one another. And in a fellowship, that is where true growth. And I think that you really can't grow spiritually to the most of and best of your ability without being a part of a local church. Now, I'm not going to say exactly what that might look like. It could be a big church, a mega church. It could be a small country church. It could be an inner city church. It could be a home church. But a church that is following the precepts of Acts chapter 2, all those things, being devoted to God's word and prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread and all those things, coming together and serving one another. That can look in a number of different ways. But it's important that you're part of a church, because that puts you also under the leadership of an elder board or a pastor and a set of pastors, that there's kind of a, you're submitting under the authority of somebody else. Even the pastor, me, I am under the authority of the elders, and they are ultimately under the authority, of course, of the church membership as well as God himself. And so in the word of God. And so we're all submitting to that authority together, and we're realizing that together we're better together than we are apart. So number one, be devoted to God's word. That helps in taking away divisiveness as a graduate, as anybody seeking to serve him. Second is to be connected and serving in a Bible-believing church. And the third is this. And I'm going to say this might be a little bit out of our comfort zone, but I'm going to tell you this. Jesus was very clear in his teaching that I think, as it comes to genuine repentance and coming to him and seeking him out, was he erred on the side of grace. He didn't tell people they had to get all cleaned up before they came back to him. And so in the same way, while we should be absolutely standing for truth and calling people out of sin and to repentance, we should err on the side of grace. Keep the main thing, the main thing. And what's the main thing? The gospel of Jesus Christ, that you are lost and dead in your sin, that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in our place, rose again, conquering sin completely, going back to the Father, and that if we, as the Bible said, would repent and believe, we are saved. That's the gospel. And that Jesus is, again, of course, coming back. And the second aspect of being the main thing is the a part of that gospel is the understanding that we are given the ministry and the message of the gospel to take to all the nations. We are to be making and maturing disciples. And so as you think about that, as you are devoted to the Word of God, as you're involved and connected and serving in a local church, and you're erring on the side of grace, loving people, this is where we begin to realize that we must trust God. See, we're called to obey His commands. In John 14, 23, it says this, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In other words, if you love God, you will obey His teaching. See, the obedience is not required for salvation. Let me say that again. You are not able to obey enough to receive salvation. You must believe that you can't and that you need Jesus. But obedience is rather an outpouring of salvation. When I realize that apart from Jesus, I am a sinful man heading straight to hell and that I need Him and I need His grace. And when I realize how much I need His grace, I realize that I must then, because of that salvation, I must, if I really love Him, I must obey what He asks me to do. And that obedience becomes the fruit in my life. You know, I use the phrase, stay in your lane. And this really applies here. Whenever I think about erring on the side of grace, I think about the Pharisees who did the exact opposite. They tried to make so many rules that it was impossible for any person to keep them all, just to keep people under their thumb. Well, Jesus certainly has the law, right? The law was written before Jesus came to this earth, and the law was to show us that we can't keep it and that we need Jesus. And so when Jesus came and gives us eternal life, is given by the Father because of what Jesus did, that unmerited favor, that undeserved gift is something we're given. And because of that, we must live a life that is full of grace as well. Now, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't stand up for truth. We absolutely should, and there's time for that. But when it comes to living in a divisive world, the best advice I can give you is this: be devoted to God's Word. Be connected and equipped in a local church and err on the side of grace. Well, the last thing I want to leave with you this week is I encourage you, and this week I'm preaching from Joshua chapter 1. I'm telling my graduates to be courageous, right? Well, at the end of this passage that I'm preaching on is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, and it says this. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And my parting words to you is the same as they will be to the graduates on Sunday morning, is that you are ready in Christ. Be courageous no matter what is in front of you. Be strong and trust in God. And after all that is said, go out and follow the commands we've been given. Well, I hope this message finds you today and encourages you. And if it's something that has encouraged you, I encourage you to leave a comment, to like, subscribe, whatever it is, depending on what medium you're listening to this podcast on. And it's hard to believe to me, but this is completing one full year in this podcast. And I've put out 47 episodes, and I'm just excited about that. And as I look to the new year, I am going to be expanding on this and trying some new things. So tune back in and stay with me. But in a world that's divisive, that wants to divide you and pull you apart, don't forget the words of advice that I gave you today. Be devoted to the Word of God and look at things through that lens of Scripture. Be connected at a local church. Err on the side of grace and be courageous, because in Christ, you are ready to take on whatever is in front of you. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, have a great day.
You've been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.